we should just jump into this then. What's up, guys? Welcome to Dapper Shrek Podcast, episode 78. I noticed that when we do our serious episodes, I tend to have a more serious tone. I wonder why that is.
Speaking of tone, silence your cell phones.
No, wait.
Da-da-da-tone. Do you want me to get that?
I don't care. It was like two bucks. What do you call individual parts of a burp?
A burp. Pips?
No, like the parts.
Still the same burp. It's just different. Well, I mean, it's like articulating you're playing a clarinet, except for you're playing your esophagus.
Ew.
Yeah. All right, so this, guys, is going to be the long-awaited economy cast. We're going to talk about some terms and why it's bad for you and things that are regular business practice in the corporate world.
The economy's bad, okay?
Okay. But we're going to actually tell you why. At least we're partially why.
That's cool.
Okay, so before we get started into the serious stuff, I want to ask this question. Emily, you were just typing on a keyboard that you said was not charged. How much did you type on the keyboard before you realized it wasn't charged?
I was trying, okay?
Was it, like, spotty and it's like, oh, it
is? Yeah, it got, like, a few clickety-clacks.
Okay, so it did do some stuff, okay.
Yep.
You could plug in your keyboard and, like, type them back there.
No.
Alright, fine.
We're also a random question. Does that keyboard come with, like, a cord to plug it into the actual tablet or something?
Well, it didn't come with a... Well, maybe it did come with a cord, but no, so we've lost it's sense Bluetooth, of that but you have to charge it on a computer, or on a charger. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, random question out of the way. That's I was okay. Just wondering, I was like, if that thing needs, like, charge, that would be annoying. It's like, did you charge your cell phone? Yes. Did you charge your case? Yes. Did you charge your keyboard? Fuck!
Okay, so
I think it would be helpful this to talk like on a big tablet like this, like on a 7-inch tablet, mm-hmm. like it was a phone.
I did that with you when I was at Broughton's.
Really?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Well, that's Skyping. That's different.
Did you put it up to your face?
Like holding it like this?
We did Skyped. We Skyped.
Yeah, but I did that when I was going around walking with the dogs.
Stupid.
Well, I'm sure you looked stupid.
I mean, absolutely it was. Yeah, but it was...
holding it up to your shoulder like a boombox.
Okay, so guys,
anyway.
Economy Cast. It's
yes.
here.
It's queer.
Get used to it.
Oh my god.
We have been looking forward to this for a while now. I say
forward
looking forward to it. We've wanted to do this
John's
for a while.
Been looking forward to it. For me, it's more homework.
You mean more homework?
As you may or may not know, folks, I'm a management major and an entrepreneurship major, and I am done with the business department. So done.
Oh, good. Well, so you should be able to answer all of our questions tonight.
Probably.
Sweet. And if you don't, you fail.
One of the major concerns we have recently is we have these huge corporations that keep becoming one bigger corporation. And somehow that keeps being allowed. So I want to define some terms and then establish why this is actually allowed business practice. So first, hun, can you tell us what monopoly is?
When one company has everything, has the whole market share, or enough market share that you can consider it to have everything, because even if, I was just telling James that even if you, like, if there are a few little podunk towns with teeny tiny little internet providers, or if you count, like, cell phone companies as an internet provider, technically, Comcast still has a monopoly, or an oligopoly.
Or Time Warner.
Yeah, well, exactly.
So, a monopoly then can be reasonably described as someone having a stranglehold on any one product or service, right?
Mm-hmm, yep. And by extension, an oligopoly is like a monopoly light, where a few people hold all the power. Which
so,
really is why the game Monopoly should have been called Oligopoly.
Right. So, an oligopoly would be like, we know the major... internet providers in the country being Time Warner and Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then CenturyLink.
Really, monopolies are bad, and if they do exist, they can try to be broken up by, a number of things. But actually, I think oligopolies are worse because of the things that can go wrong.
Yes.
Like, collusion, especially, can just lead to prices being absurd.
And collusion being, I think, I actually saw an episode of King of the Hill, once upon a time, that pretty accurately described what collusion is. Take, for example, because I'm going to use this literally, there are several propane companies that are competing with each other. Now, one propane company will have a set price on their products. The other propane company will then communicate with said propane company and lower their price accordingly so that they are even. Mm-hmm. Or they will have one be lower for a day to drive business. And then someday, maybe the next week, the other business will lower even more. Mm-hmm. And what would look like a price war is actually them colluding in order to drive business to both of them.
Yeah. Where they'll cooperate, collusion.
Yeah.
Is cooperating for each of their benefits. And yeah, it can lead to bad, like, awful impact on the consumers.
And so, one of the worries with an oligopoly is that there is inherently the temptation of collusion. Because everyone wants to make money.
And they want to make more money. So what is the best way to do that? Because, I mean, in...
Fuck the consumers.
Yeah.
In an actual free market, they would be, I mean, as far as, like, price competition, you would think that prices would be either, like, they would stagnate at an area and, like, fluctuate a little bit, or they would go down because, you know, each one's trying to undercut the other. But the way, like, an oligopoly can work is they actually set it up so that prices are going up, but because they're flip-flopping and it looks like they're competing with one another, but the actual trend on the price of everything is going up, and if the cost of the manufacturing of the items that they're making doesn't go anywhere, then that's just basically making more profit for all of them. Under the guise of a free market and making everything look like it's on the up and up.
Yep, that sounds about right.
I kind of like how gas prices can go. It's like, you've got a whole bunch of corporate bigwigs who all control the oil, and so you see gas prices fluctuate, but go up. Like, if you look at the actual market trend, it's all still going up.
You can have a wave that goes down, but not as far down as last year, and it'll just go up more than it did last year, and so on.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, sorry, I don't mean to, like, bust it.
You're fine, please do.
It's like, all of a sudden, the news and people start noticing, and you see people, like, actually posting. It's like, hey, do you guys notice that this is going on? And people start investigating. And all of a sudden, the trend is actually starting to go down again. It's not, like, dropping down. It's not completely obvious, but they're making it go down again
and
for a while.
That's when progressives are like, look, it's going to get better. It's already going down. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, like, you'll still get, like, any small amount of improvement. If it doesn't keep improving, it'll just go right back to the way it was.
That's just an upward trend still.
Yep.
So, because of these possible acts of collusion, we have what are called antitrust laws. The first one was enacted in 1890. It was called the Sherman Act. It was meant to keep this collusion at bay. It was meant to keep monopolies from happening. Because there were further practices that they didn't consider after that, they amended it with the Clayton Act in 1914 to get rid of the anti-competitive practices.
It pretty much gave... It gave a bigger stick to the Sherman Act.
Yeah.
To make it way more... Not enforceable, but to give people more power to enforce it.
Well, that's also when... In 1914 is also when the Federal Trade Commission was... created in order to take that said stick and mm-hmm. beat the companies about the head with it until they stopped doing the shit they were doing. So these anti-competitive practices are like price discrimination, sales on a condition, which means stuff like exclusive dealings, like, hey, we'll give you a huge cut on our product if you only sell our product. That type of stuff. Mergers and acquisitions, meaning, hey, we're going to buy you, and then we're going to sell our products through you. That kind of stuff. Keeping people from being able to compete at all. through these really highly aggressive business tactics.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a lot of the shit that they're, like, kind of sort of doing.
Kinda. And that's kind of the problem here. So, I think we're going to transition from that to mega mergers. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell us what that is?
I mean, it's just like a merger where two companies come together, but between two huge companies. Like Comcast and Time Warner.
Or, more realistically, because it might actually be allowed, AT&T and Time Warner. Or Disney and Marvel. Or Disney and anyone.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of important to, when you're looking at Time Warner and Comcast, both of them are providers, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a horizontal merger, where you have two companies coming together, like THQ Nordic or Activision Blizzard.
Yep.
Whereas you have, those are horizontal, which are good because the companies can get a bigger market share. And in video game companies, you're acquiring all that IP. With vertical mergers, to an extent, you still get that. But vertical mergers are a little bit more viewed as an acquisition, because what you're doing is you're basically purchasing another step on your supply chain. The supply chain being the cycle that gets from manufacturer to customer. You've got your manufacturer, your supplier, your distributor, or your supplier, your manufacturer, your distributor, and a lot of times it'll go straight to the consumer. When you have a vertical merger, it's like a company buying or destroying one of their suppliers. So
it's like an umbrella corporation purchasing someone.
Kind of. It's more than anything, it's like if
EA were to, say, buy Visceral Entertainment.
Well, yeah, if a grocery store were to buy The Farm, basically.
Right. Like Yokes did.
Exactly. But yeah, where EA bought a ton of things, because they wanted, not only do they want the IP, but they
don't want the competition.
Well, that too, yeah. Publisher wanted their supplier,
oh, yeah,
the companies. That's basically what it is. And that, it's somewhat anti-competitive, which kind of sucks, but it reduces your overhead, and it gives you this, with game companies, it's not as big a deal, but it gives you this economy of scale where your company just saves a lot of money. Based off how much it can produce. It's not as big a deal with game companies because they kind of take a risk on making a game before they start making money.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not quite as affected by that.
But. Since we're on it, I am going to briefly diverge from the topic to talk about THQ Nordic.
And what we talked about this morning.
So THQ Nordic just made an acquisition of the company. Did I put it in there? I'm sure I did. What is the name of the company? THQ Nordic just bought the company making Biomutant, which is
a cool little game, actually. If you want to watch the trailer, it'll probably Experiment be in the show 101. Notes.
But yeah, it's a cool-looking little game. And I'm pretty happy. It seems like anything that Nordic buys gets revived, which is the exact opposite of EA.
Of what EA does, where game developers go to die.
Yeah.
So that seems to me like, as far as how it relates to the game industry, as the vertical acquisition, I guess, is what it is, mm-hmm. That it's like a publisher buying a developer. And
that's exactly it. Yeah.
Because another example would be, say, like, you know, McDonald's buying a cattle farm, you know, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
The only problem with that is that, because in the way that it does make it sort of anti-consumer or, like, less of a, like, word that comes to mind, it's like a battleground, or less, you know, less competition would be that it's like that developer now is no longer possibly making games for another publisher.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, before, that developer could be like, hey, I have this idea for a game, and they pitch it to a whole bunch of producers who are just like, yeah, we'll go on to do ahead and do that. That sounds awesome. So EA signs on, or,
you where know, you have a bigger, like, opportunity for a game to be picked up, as opposed to if a game isn't good, or if the developer is told by their publisher, you have to make this game, it might just be a shit game. Or if the developer wants to start a project, if they want, like, if they have their baby and they're so excited about it and the publisher doesn't like it, that's the end. And in EA's, you know, in EA's case, they didn't like anything. They just don't like happiness. So they're beheading a bunch of their companies. Whereas it's more competitive if developers are able to go out into the market and be like, hey,
pitch their idea.
Publish me.
Go ahead.
Because, and that also, I think, stifles creativity, because once a publisher buys a developer, that developer can't be like, hey, I've got this cool idea, you know, to bring it to Daddy EA, and EA is like, no, and that's it. It's like, they can't do anything.
Now, this is going to be an argument that we had, like, way back in the single-digit episodes of the podcast, but, you know, that kind of brings up my argument about Supergiant Games being published through Warner Brothers, how they are still independent, even though they are published by a AAA developer.
Yeah. Versus, like, calling Supergiant, like, a AAA developer because they had a publisher?
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, it's one of those things where it's definitely going to lessen the amount of potential competitors by just absorbing them into your blob that is your company. Yeah. And some might wonder if that's why they keep buying these other companies that are doing well and competing in similar genres with them, and then killing them. Gee, that can't possibly be it. It can't be that they're deliberately sabotaging these companies in order to make it so there's less competition in the long run.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I was just peeking through the reasons why Clover Studio was absorbed into
Capcom
for a number of reasons, but they shut it down after three of the main dudes went on to go form Platinum Games, Mad World, Infinite Space, Bayonetta, a few others, but Inafune was talking about problems that with Capcom management, where one of their rules was that 70 to 80% of all new projects must be sequels of existing IP.
Yeah.
Close to 100% was what Capcom actually wanted. No new shit. Just the old stuff that they thought would work.
They didn't want to take any risks.
You're taking so many risks by releasing the same shill every time. Yeah. But anyway.
Mario.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there as a counter-argument, actually. But,
well, that's, like...
So how is this bad for a consumer if we're talking about a company?
As far as vertical mergers, or as far as acquisitions?
As far as a mega merger goes.
Oh. Well, it can create... I mean, by having two companies become a bigger one, looking at you, Unilever, who owns almost literally everything that you use today. Like, if it's a national brand, it's Unilever, basically. Know that. It becomes harder and harder to find independent brands, you know? I mean, even Newman's Own started out as their own thing, Unilever.
Well, it's the same with, like, Nestle.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, and just a bunch of things will come together, and now you can hardly find anything that's not in a grocery store that's not owned by some bigger company.
Giant company. I still remember when I realized that it's like the soda companies are basically Coke and Pepsi. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
You see all these brands, you see Fanta, you see all these other things. No, it's either Coke or it's Pepsi. Look at the label.
That is why I was so surprised when I was like, Rockstar? Rockstar is just Rockstar? Rockstar is Rockstar. What?
It's like an actual independent... No. No, that can't be right. Yeah,
even Monster Energy. Interestingly enough, Monster is... They either own or they're owned by the same company as one of these, like, very granola... I don't even think they're sodas. I think they're just sparkling...
Did they do something like Sobe? Waters.
No, maybe?
I mean, it's not Sobe for sure, because Sobe is actually, I think, a...
What are they? I don't remember.
Sobe, I think, is a Coke product, actually.
Oh, yeah, probably. Bad for you. I don't know why. When I was a kid, I used to fucking love Sobe.
So did I.
Why? Why did I love it? It's so bad.
We were told it was good for us, and it tasted good. That's why.
And the bottles looked really cool, because they had those tribal prints on them. That was a cool thing to drink.
It was guilt-free indulgence.
Yeah. And her parents bought them for us, because they looked healthy. What was I looking for?
$1,000.
Quote unquote looked.
There's no pain like, monster.
I think it was like a comedian or something like that, or I remember someone saying that Subway was the company that convinced America that eating an entire loaf of bread was healthy.
Oh yeah, it was. It absolutely was.
Huh. Okay. Interestingly enough, first of all, it's Hansen sodas. Which, yeah, that's those sodas. Apparently, okay, they promote music bands, a number of music people. And I just want to kind of read off the odd little assortment. So you've got Five Finger Death Punch, Asking Alexandria, cool. 21 Savage, Fetty Wap, Iggy Azalea, and Maximum the Hormone? Like,
I've never actually heard of that last one.
John?
Yeah?
What's up, people?
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yes, I have.
They did the opening for Death Note. And it's interesting, because they are not an American band, which is very interesting. But apparently the Hansen Natural Company is now the Monster Beverage Corporation. But they own Peace Tea, too, apparently.
Okay, so that should give you some example of how it could be interesting. Now, how it could be bad is you have these two corporations that just became one, and hey, they're still in charge of the prices for the service or product that you are buying.
And sometimes to the less intelligent consumer, when something new comes out, like say, just by some stretch, say Coke and Pepsi come out, or like they merge for some reason. They never will.
There's no way in hell that'd be allowed.
Well, I mean, you never know.
Wouldn't that be a monopoly on cola?
Basically, yeah. But if they came out with this new cola called, Widget. They came out with the new Widget cola.
Poca Epsi.
If they came out with the new Widget cola, everybody would be like, oh my god, this is so good and it's so new. And they still had Coke and Pepsi, but everybody would go and buy Widget Cola, and Coke and Pepsi would start to fall by the wayside, and the new Coke-Epsi would make all of the profit.
Man, that's crazy that that new product that was still benefiting them would enable them to only make one product in the end, and still make the same profit margin. Mm-hmm. That is just crazy.
I mean, it probably would be a different profit margin, but they would still make profit.
Right, but sorry.
Just like you can't throw around income versus profit, you can't throw around profit versus profit margin. People will use them interchangeably.
So they can still make the same amount of money.
Yes, or more.
No, and no, you're right. You do have to be specific with these terms, because legalese is very, very specific.
It bothers me. Well, and that's the thing, not even legalese, it's business.
It is, though.
It's business terms is the thing.
It's still very, very heavily influenced by legalese.
To an extent, yeah, but that's the thing, is there's
to an extent?
Well, you're not gonna hear laws talking specifically, like, about naming profit margin. That's what businesses and accountants and finance people use to...
No, but you will hear laws that address directly a profit margin versus a profit.
Yeah, well, they... Probably not, honestly.
You don't think that would happen?
No, that's just business knowledge. I mean, that's just what businesses call it. Huh.
For some reason, I think today we read an exact case where that happened, but...
I don't think so.
I don't think I took good enough notes on it.
I think it's kind of shitty.
Apparently.
Like, from a consumer standpoint, I already think it's kind of shitty that, say, like, in the Coke and Pepsi example, that all these different items, like, aren't... I mean, it's a very small portion of the label that tells you it's, like, part of the Coca-Cola company. It's like, they don't really want you to know that they're part of this giant umbrella corporation.
Well, yeah. It's the same way that, what is that big pesticide company?
Bayer?
No, not, well, yes. That's actually one of them as well. I mean, Bayer, and what's the other one I'm thinking?
Dow Industrial?
Nope. It's the one that was responsible for Agent Orange. Do me a favor and look it
up. I'm looking it up, yeah.
Just look up
Agent. I genuinely don't know that.
It's one that we talked about all the time.
I'm looking it up already. Hang on.
It's one of the ones that people criticize quite regularly.
I know, I'm looking it up.
And it's bothering me to no end that I can't think of the fucking name.
Don't you hate that? It's just like... Your brain is like, nope, fuck you.
Nope, go to hell. But it's one of those things where you deliberately try to obfuscate who your parent or your umbrella company is because you don't necessarily want to give money to, say, EA or Warner Brothers, but you don't mind giving it to Supergiant Games.
Monsanto?
Yes, that's okay. The one. Monsanto. Monsanto is one of those companies where you can buy something and not realize it's from them, and a lot of people are anti-Monsanto. But they will buy product.
Oh, Monsanto.
They will not realize that they are buying a product from them and giving them their money anyway. And that's deliberate.
Rockstar Rockstar has a fuck ton of flavors.
Yeah, I know.
Just from a consumer standpoint, that just pisses me off. And it's not as bad in the gaming industry just because you kind of want your name out with a game, so you'll, like, you know, the title screen comes up, and then all of a sudden it's like, EA! And it's like, oh, okay. And then it's like, Tez sends you to 5 different developers, like, it comes up with their emblems, like, okay, can we skip this shit? XXX, come on!
50 seconds later.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm finally there! Press start to go. Alright, let's do this. But yeah, no, so they kind of... So they want their name on it. So you'll be able to tell for the most part. It's kind of like if all of a sudden EA stopped putting its name on games but was still the producer, and you're just like, why are you doing that? Is it because you have a bad fucking rap and you don't want people to know? It's like...
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's funny that you should mention that. I'm going to tie it into world events right now because, oh my god, have they had to fucking backpedal with goddamn Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah, they have.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, that was a fucking disaster. It became a meme on Reddit in a day. It became the comment that they put on Reddit. Has it been slung around by numerous web-like news sources.
And memers.
Yeah, it was the most downvoted comment in Reddit history. And Reddit's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
So you could see why a company like them might want to be like, hey, yeah, this isn't an EA product. It's kind of like when you look at a game from Square Enix, you don't necessarily know it was a Square Enix game. Because they don't always have the best reputation. I mean, they do right now, but not always.
Yeah, no, they were in a funk for a while. I think they're starting to pull themselves out. But
kind of fucking hope so.
I know, right? I like that company. I liked it, you know, back when it was a little bit better when it was like Squaresoft. But still.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But also another thing, it's just like some of these companies just basically get eaten by other companies, and then they have, like, this year-long transition period where they're like, okay, we don't want to let people know that we just ate this company. We just want to slowly just start tossing our logo in places.
And then Activision Blizzard.
The next thing you know, it's just like, oh, now the other, like, our logo is bigger than their logo. Why is that happening? I don't know. That happened in the latest update. I don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden it's like, their logo just slightly disappears, and the next thing you know, you never fucking heard of Squaresoft, and all of a sudden it's Square Enix.
Yep, that sounds about right. So, and the reason I bring up Activision Blizzard is because very, very gradually, Activision Blizzard is absorbing the processes, business practices, and the methodology that Activision used to employ in creating video games and in running and maintaining them. Not only that, in charging people for money.
Yeah. Along with the whole, I mean, maybe it was rekindled by the fires of the whole Battlefront fiasco, but there's been a lot of talk on our Hearthstone about just the cost of the game. And also, the whole concept of loot boxes has just, like, been thrown some major shade recently. And it's like...
Yep.
So that's funny, because it's been around for a while.
I mean, I remember doing it in MapleStory with Gachapon. Yeah. But the thing is, I don't have that type of addictive personality, so I'd be like, $20.
The first time I went to a casino when I was 18, because my grandmother took me there for my 18th birthday, and we went to the buffet, because my grandmother's old. We looked like we went to go play a few slot games, and apparently there's this little card that you can use, and a lot of people had it attached, like, to their shirts or something, like, on a little lanyard. I don't know, so that nobody would steal it, I guess? But it was one of the most depressing things, because they had these glazed-over looks on their faces, just unhappy people. Just pressing the button, and pressing the button,
and hoping
pressing the button. Yeah.
And then winning a little bit. And then...
And then that little bit of, that little bit of... you know, dopamine that just kind of rushed in. It was worth it to them, apparently, and it's real fucking depressing.
See, and that's why my gambling is done through the lottery, because at least that money is going to help educators. In theory.
Sprite down. But anyway, I think that the whole concept of just merging... I mean, I can understand having, like, the financial stability of being a larger company. Like, you've got a whole bunch of indie developers, and they're like, you know what? We just kind of, like, it's feast or famine with these, like, games that we're coming out with. So what if we all kind of, like, pool our resources and become, like, an association of sorts, you know, that sort of thing. I could see something like that happening and being kind of cool, you know, to help, you know, oh, this studio came out with kind of a bum game. Instead of that studio just going tits up, they actually have, like, a cushion to fall on, and they're like, okay, the next one's going to be better. And next thing you know, they come out with a blockbuster hit, and they're like, sweet. And then for the betterment of their entire group. Versus EA is just like, development studio, and just eat it. And then it's like, another one. And then they're just taking them out back and shooting them in the head and just being like, yeah, no, you did some good stuff, but not anymore because we said fuck you.
And that's going to bring me to today's term of the day.
Term of the day, yay!
So, we're going to talk about a little thing called ancillary revenue. Now, kids in the class, just hearing
Ancillary?
I mean, does it really matter how I enunciate it? You know what I'm saying?
No. No, no.
Ancillary.
Yeah, that's right. Get your shit straight, John.
That's what I said, anyway. You know, half the time when you guys correct me, I go back and listen to it, it's like, that's what I said! Fuckers.
Yeah, but then we just love seeing you triggered, like...
Anyway. Can the class tell me what ancillary revenues are?
Ancillary revenues? Yes.
I'm going to throw this book at you. Yeah, it's not a very heavy book.
It's like a notepad at best.
But it's like a book at you.
Also, I have no idea, so I'm just kind of like...
Okay. Do you think you can tell me what it is?
What ancillary revenue is?
Yes.
Microtransactions. Also, things like when... It's just surcharges or like charges that happen outside the base cost or the... So like, presented costs, so like baggage.
So like flying a plane, baggage is a good one.
The double seating charge. Peanuts aren't necessarily. Those are usually free and shitty.
If they are free, yes. If they are not free, then they are an... Come on, finish it.
DLC?
Peanuts.
They are an peanuts. Yes. And yes, DLC is one of those things that is considered that.
Yep.
And this is why it directly affects... most people who participate in the online gaming community.
Wait, so is this like when, so whenever we say ancillary income, we all have to like stop and go, ah! Is that what we do?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Wait, what?
Ancillary income.
Ah! Because he said the word of the day, you know?
Yes.
Oh! Ancillary.
Oh my god, she's too young to get what that's from.
Oh my god.
What?
What? Yeah, see, there we go.
What is it? What?
You're actually too young to get what
yes,
from.
But what? Stop it.
It's from Pee-wee.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, I never watched it. I saw the movie.
They didn't have the word of the day in the movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although it would have been really funny.
Anywho. So are we taking a break for...
Nope.
Just... Okay.
Keep going.
Oh.
Cool.
Why?
Why not?
Well, I guess he did download the drivers to his computer, so it probably won't crash.
Speaking of people... who need to get their shit together.
Windows! Microsoft.
So I think we've basically established why everything is bad and we should feel bad and why companies are able to take advantage of us. Well, not why, but how. Anyway.
I mean, we know why.
Money, money, money.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they very carefully skirt the laws to the letter of it, which is why I was saying legalese is very important in the corporate world. Because they take a look at the letter of the law and they're like, yeah, but that doesn't mean this, so we can still do this.
That's why they have teams of lawyers, people who are literally paid to find ways that they could skirt around, you know. Stay within the letter of the law, but also skirt around the law.
God, you know what that reminds me of? Just recently, wasn't there a company that tried to do this whole drive for one of their dead employees?
They're like, oh, yeah. You know,
I can't seem to recall who it was, but man, it would be terrible if they did that in such a way that it wouldn't apply to sales outside of our country or in certain states within it. God, I just can't remember who it was or what it was about.
I think we do.
I wonder if that game's doing very well and has loot boxes in it, because man, that would just be a nail in the coffin for that damn thing. It's almost like that thing is a compilation of bad ideas with one solid idea holding it together, and then they shit all over it. And the dreams of the developers behind it. You know, I just can't think of it right now.
Yeah, you should really warn a brother about, you know, games that come out like that.
You know, there's no shadow of war of doubt in my mind that some company somewhere has done that, Warner Brothers.
So, when you say it's a drive for one of their done employees, it kind of makes me think, you want to buy some cookies to benefit the skeleton army?
That'd be so much
fun. Just these little dead children in their Girl Scout satchels. some skeleton father patting the skull of his child.
Bone meal cookie?
Ew.
They used to make those.
Delicious and nutritious. And technically powdery.
Technically very nutritious.
Very high in calcium.
Yeah, that's true. Alright, so I think from here on, guys, we're going to talk about some actual news that is going on, because there's just so much fucking dickery.
So many dicks.
Like, let's talk about something not dickish. What we got in the news docket? Anyone?
The news docket?
We already covered that THQ Nordic has bought a new company.
Bringing it back to life. Or more to life.
Ensuring that it stays alive and actually gets a publisher. Yeah.
Which in the end is pretty awesome.
Did you actually look at Biomutant by chance, James?
I did.
Biomutant?
Yeah, that game that I put a 25-minute trailer in there for by IGN, and I'm so sorry because, oh my god, they need to learn to fucking
Yeah, I know. Like, when we were watching this thing where enemies spawn out of a nest, and granted, maybe they had played through it before, maybe they knew that nest was going to stop spawning things, but John and I both kind of went like, go hit the nest! Go destroy the nest! And they didn't, but maybe they knew. Maybe I'll give them benefit of the doubt. No, they're IGN. No doubt. Benefit of the doubt.
Also in the news, THQ, again, wow, because I just released a expansion for a potentially dead game. Titan Quest got a Norse expansion called Ragnarok.
That's fitting. It's a fitting name.
Yeah. It's very Nordic of them. But I think
THQ
that was actually...
THQ Ragnarok.
I'm pretty sure that was deliberate.
No, yeah.
But it looks really good. And it got me playing the game again, which I hadn't played in almost a decade. They also gave everyone who bought the original game a free version of the anniversary game, which included all the expansions up to Ragnarok. Ragnarok itself is on sale right now for $20.
What, how old is the game? Like, this game?
A decade.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah.
They're just like... I kind of wonder how something like this comes around. Like, do they actually... They're, like, in development, and they're like, you know what? This is kind of like an old game, but we had this idea for this expansion. Let's go ahead and work on that.
Well, here's my theory. They created the original Titan Quest with an in-game tool so that you could build campaigns. Titan Quest itself is a Diablo-esque game. They created within it a tool to make your own campaigns in the game. So you could make your own layouts, your own dungeons, everything like that. I think what happened is they decided with the anniversary edition, because they kind of did that as a celebration of, hey, we're alive again. They took these tools and revamped them and made them better, optimized them for current systems, gave it new resolutions and everything, and then someone got to dickering with it. Someone got to making this campaign for in-house. That's okay. And then everyone was like, man, this is really good. You know what we should... Oh my god, we could blow their minds. What if we release an expansion for a dead game?
And bring it back to life.
And I honestly am pretty excited because I forgot how good that game is. It is so satisfying to ragdoll enemies in a Diablo game. Torchlight will tell you that.
We should get back
into that. Why'd you bring that shit up?
Sorry. What?
We could get back into that.
Into Torchlight? But Runic's dead.
I was going to say, except... would it still run, or is that like a...
It'll still run. So, since we talked about this as well, EA has also been forced to shut down their microtransactions because turns out there was a little bit of controversy around them.
I love that one of the top posts in our gaming on Reddit was like, I paid $80 to have Darth Vader, like, locked behind apparently at least, like, 40 hours of grinding. Like, not even gameplay. It's not like, oh, yeah, you complete the campaign and you get Vader, which would make sense. But right. No, it's like, you have to grind in-game currency for, like, at least 40 hours of matchmaking and to unlock one character, is what people are saying. I haven't played it, but that's, like, about the figure that people were telling me, that that's how long it takes to unlock a single character. On a fucking $60-plus game!
You know what I would have done? If I were a developer of a game that I wanted to succeed, but I also wanted to have somewhat of a paywall, I would allow you to unlock the characters every time you play through the campaign, you get one.
I think, rather than getting one, I don't know. You should have some kind of in-game currency that you can only earn from either playing matches. Well, I know, from playing matches or from just an hour of gameplay. You can't buy this currency. I know. That's what I'm saying, though. That's the perfect model. Because you still get... People get to still buy things, technically.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea, though, is that you need to price things modestly.
Yes. You do it so that you're not deliberately dicking over your consumer, who already gave you money for the fucking game. Particularly those who gave you fucking $90 for the goddamn deluxe edition of a fucking $60 game. If you were going to cut off fucking content from them, you can bet they're gonna be pissy.
Yeah. Who the fuck would pay that much for... Okay,
idiots.
As a cheap PC gamer, if I spend more than $20 on a game, I'm like, do I really need it?
That said, you also buy figures of things because you think they're cool.
That's different.
Which is exactly...
I just got a Rock Bison figure! Ah, oh, I'm so excited! I bought it like, oops.
Oh my god, that's like the second time you've done
that. That is gonna be so decarbonated.
I bought it like 2 months ago, and I'm real excited! My Tiger and Bunny family is almost complete. I'm beyond pumped. I need to have, like, a vlog of anime figures that needs to make money so I can buy more anime figures!
Okay, so...
Sorry.
The type of people that would buy anime figures...
Yes!
...that are more interested in gaming...
Yes.
...are exactly who would buy a $90 collector's edition of the game.
No, they're not.
They are, though.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are, like, more interested in gaming.
I'm interested in gaming.
Yes, but are you interested in collecting the games?
I mean, not since they're not physical copies anymore.
But,
you know?
But like, these,
you
the collector's editions are.
Well, you kind of convinced me that it's cool to collect. Like, I'd love to have more, like, NES games. That would be super cool.
Well, yeah.
It would be cool to have weird, like, obscure little consoles. Because you actually have something, and it would be cool to have a little collection. At the same time, if it's, like, online, like Steam badges.
Well, that's the thing. Like, an online version is not what we're talking about here, though.
The collector's editions
are things... Although, there are some things that you get out of the collector's editions for those games. Or the gold edition. Gold edition, is that what it's called?
No, I don't remember. There's so many different editions.
Yeah, that's the thing. All of them contains real...
I did like what... I mean, Skyrim had it well, where it was just, like, the Dragonborn edition, where you get a bunch of new shit for the game. That's fine. Like, if they call it that. But, that one fucking game that had a whole bunch of random shit, there was a whole YouTube video about it. About the premium stuff that you're supposed to get with games.
Yeah.
Like the one, Fallout, that was supposed to have the little clippy on Pip-Boy, and it was shit.
Yeah.
And the one, I don't remember what game
Marvel
it was.
Marvel vs. Capcom Ultimate.
Was that the one with the little stones?
Five.
What was...
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, and they showed these off as really amazing, like, gems, and you get them, and they're, like, little, like, marbles.
Yeah, they're nothing like what they advertised in the actual picture for them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it looks like the China knockoff of it.
But that was Capcom's doing, mind you, so don't think that they're perfect. Also, don't listen to Keiji Inafune ever.
Yeah. Even though he talked about Clover and Capcom. But...
Mighty number 9.
More like Mighty number 0.
Wine.
Oh!
Because they didn't make a lot of money.
And people bitched about it.
Because it was
shit.
I mean, people have the right to bitch about it when it's shit.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah. If it had been a Hat in Time, then they wouldn't have bitched.
Yeah.
But instead, it was No Man's Sky.
I feel like you really have a boner for Hat in Time.
Honestly, it's so good game.
Also, I mean, okay, so if you're buying, say, a collector's edition of any game, it's going to include either A, shit in the game, like digital shit that can be unlocked normally, either through microtransactions or actual gameplay. B, exclusive in-game digital content, which is exclusive to, like, pre-order bonuses and all that sort of crap, which is all either cosmetic or fucking just, oh yeah, look at this, you get a slightly better gun when you start the game. Oh, so you made the game easier. So that's what you bought it for, okay. Or you get a shitty figure or a shitty thing that they make you like, oh, look at this, it comes with a fucking statue and we're going to charge you $100 for it, when if you actually just took that $100 and spent it on an actual figure, it would have actually been good. It
would have been incredible. This guy, this girl, $79.
That the audience can't
actually
see.
$120.
That one is so amazing. Okay, it's changed my life beautiful. Looking at it.
So beautiful. And, yeah, she was I don't remember.
So, for example, the Master Chief edition of Halo 3 came with a Master Chief helmet.
Stupid.
That won't fit on literally even a child's head.
Like, it was oh, look at that, you've got a fucking helmet now. Great. I'm glad that you spent an extra, like, $50 on this fucking stupid tiny helmet.
On the other hand, though, some people will like that. And will be like, model. Oh, that's cool.
Like, cool. And then it collects dust on their shelf, and then they forget about it, and they're like, oh, wait. There's that thing that I wasted $50 on, like, an aeon ago.
Man, when you have really bad, ventilation and haven't changed your furnace filter in a while, everything collects dust.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sitting here collecting dust.
Speaking of which, I just want to give a shout-out to fucking Doflamingo, our little figure that actually tried to assassinate my goddamn computer
the
other day.
I have three knockoff One Piece figures, because they sounded cool, and I think I spent a grand total of $30 on them.
And they
Doflamingo
look good for
$30. John's computer. Oh, yeah, the Zoro one looks super good, because the resin, action lines look good. And from a distance, Doflamingo looks great. And Crocodile actually looks like not a knockoff.
Yeah, it's actually really hard to tell he is.
Yeah. Because they did a good paint job on him. Problem is, I really do want to support good... I mean, granted, they're fucking monoliths, so it doesn't really matter, but I need to not buy knockoffs. And after those three figures, I'm not going to buy knockoffs anymore.
Well, particularly since Doflamingo... Emily and I were sitting on the couch away from him. So I think somehow he got possessed for a moment, because I looked over as he made a sound and, jumped onto my computer's fan.
He toppled.
Okay, yes.
Onto
my
fan.
No, he jumped, I swear to God.
I was saying it for dramatic effect.
He toppled.
But he fell onto my fucking computer's fan, and then my computer's fan started going... Aah!
Because it bent the little grill over the top of it, which was a bummer. And now he's sitting there with his cape glued, and pretty soon he's going to have his legs glued to his base.
And he's all fucking glued together now, because we're not having that shit happen again.
Nope. But he's not coming apart. And once he stops falling apart, it'll be great, because his cape looks really good. His paint job is okay. His tongue bothers me, because I thought it was a cigar for the longest time, but that's Crocodile.
Well, his tongue is actually an accurate depiction of how he uses his tongue in the...
But it just looks bad. Like, not his tongue in the...
Anime,
but, he just looks bad. There are better Doflamingo figures out there. Also, I just realized what figure I'm missing. Sorry, I talk about anime figures a lot on the podcast.
Moria?
No.
Luki.
No.
I mean, you're missing a lot of figures, this is what I'm getting at. Frankie?
Robin? That would be good.
Nami?
No.
Chopper?
No.
Usopp?
Fire Emblem from Tiger and Bunny.
Robin?
Fire Emblem? Fire Emblem. With his big
Sanji.
With his big old gay flame cape! I want it! It's actually, he's very, he's very obviously gender neutral, and he's a black character in an anime that isn't,
Can we talk about Fire Emblem real quick?
I mean, if you want to. Anyway, he's a black character in an anime that wasn't a parody, and I can appreciate that.
Yeah, it was kind of nice.
Japan's kind of xenophobic, and I feel like they're slowly coming into their own as not racist.
Granted, they made him a gay stereotype instead.
Well, no, he's not... It doesn't show him as gay badly, either.
No, but he was a stereotype, nonetheless.
Yes, and that's the thing, though. That's how exposure for the gay started, anyway.
I'd rather it be a positive stereotype like it was than a negative one, certainly. But it was still a stereotype.
But at the same time, I mean, yeah, and to get, the whole... To get queers mainstream, you kind of had to have that gay best friend stereotype in order to normalize any kind of gay in the media, you know?
On a related note to Fire Emblem, Fire Emblem Warriors came out.
It looks so good.
It looks so fucking good.
I want it.
I haven't been excited for a Warriors game in since Dragon Quest Warriors 2, actually.
There's the Luffy, the One Piece one.
Yes, but that came out years ago.
It's really good, though.
It is really
good. That one's a lot of fun. And there's something about watching, like, something you really, really enjoy. Like, I know that you really enjoy other things, but One Piece has been such a facet of your life that, of yours, specifically.
I think, James, I used to watch One Piece on your internet back when I was a kid in high school still, right?
Oh, yeah?
Like, in your computer room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he had faster internet than I did, you see.
Which is weird out there, because you guys have, like, snail pace.
Oh, it was still shit.
Oh, yeah, it was a hunk of garbage. It's actually a hell of a lot better now. You know what's awesome? Is that I signed up for their, because I have CenturyLink, and I live out in the fucking sticks, where it's either CenturyLink, or you might as well just be like, alright, I'll send a letter to Pornhub, and maybe they'll send me a video.
They'll send you a single tit.
They probably would, dude.
Probably. But yeah, no, so it's,
And an advertisement.
Yeah! Over the top of the picture of a naked lady, there's a little post-it note that says, single women in your area now.
Anyway, so, I remember I was on my way home from work, and Haley sends me a text. It's like, holy shit, James, I saw a CenturyLink truck, call them now. And so I did, on my way home, like, hey, do you guys have internet in my area? They're like, yeah, we kind of just set it up. I'm like, what's the fastest fucking internet you have? And I signed up for their 20 meg plan. And
right there in your car?
Good, yeah. Good.
And now they don't have the 20 meg plan anymore, but I got it, damn it.
Well, that's good. Actually, it's funny, because my dad had his phone plan, grandfather didn't. So he's stuck with Sprint, which is, like, I know you like Sprint, John.
No, I don't like Sprint. They've done less evil to me than other companies.
So.
But he still has a truly unlimited data plan, like, no caps. Yeah. And we've, I haven't talked to him in a long time. Well, before, recently. But he tried to, overextend his data to the limits that other plans had. YouTube still worked fine. That was great. Because they have to keep your plan going if you have a contract. Anyway.
That's so cool. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to call it there for this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Let us know what you think in the comments. If you have any comments at all about oligopolies or anything like that, which I don't think we actually covered. Great.
Yeah.
Then
we talk about what
we did. Actually, we were like, oligopoly is a bad guy.
Well, and we eventually did start talking about games in the game industry, because that's what we care about. But it really did tie into how EA is a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, I think it tied in fairly well to that.
James, before we go, I need you to say something for me. Say the word beans. Just do it.
Beans.
Thank you.
Look, you say it a little higher pitched.
Beans! There you go!
Perfect.
James is back!
Alright,
thanks for tuning in!